AM Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC, and we are live in the Sweet James Studios, still deep behind the orange curtain. And I need to talk about Berkeley. Need to, must, very important. This matters to you, I promise. But a brief aside here, did you notice today in the news, United Airlines has settled with Dr. David Dow. You'll remember he's the passenger who was dragged off the airplane, got hurt pretty badly, a couple of chipped teeth. He's got some other, I think, some soft tissue injuries and cuts and abrasions. And I think this is a really smart move tactically, both for United and also for Dr. Dow. Got to remember these cases. The case isn't just about the injuries and what happened to him. It's about there's outrage factor, right? I mean, that's what this whole thing is about. It's an embarrassing situation for the airline. You cannot be the friendly airline when you're dragging people off airplanes using a hit squad. And so this has been a total public relations disaster for United. And United, of course, wants to get rid of it. That's a given. But I kind of want to give you a lawyer's perspective on this because, you know, the lawyer doesn't necessarily want to protract it either. You know, dragging it out, when you have a high kind of a... Anytime there's an incident like this that's getting a lot of traction in the media, it has a shelf life. It's there. It's sitting there for a while, but it won't sit there forever. You know, we're going to move on to something new in a month with or without a settlement. And you'll see that sometimes in cases, by the way. You know, you'll hear about something in the news and then a year later on the, you know, eighth page of the newspaper, you open it up and there's a little snippet about how that one case that you maybe had heard about once or twice back in the day is finally settling. Now, you tell me, when did that lawyer have better leverage, right? When was there potentially more money on the table? When it was a hot news story and the defendant here, which is United, the defendant wanted it to go away? Or is it, you know, 2 or 3 years down the line when everybody's forgotten about it? So see what I'm saying? I think this is what this shows you is the lawyer was thinking on his feet. He knows what he's doing. He's savvy. It does nobody any good at this point to make it go away. The airline, of course, is eager to have this guy stop talking. I am positive that built into this is some kind of a non-disclosure agreement. They want to shut this guy up, so they don't want him doing any more media. They don't want him anywhere. And I figure too, the lawyer's thinking he's got a client. You remember he's got a bit of a shady past, did some bad stuff. The lawyer doesn't want that coming out either and getting messy. It's just that's what happened today. That's exactly why it all got done now. And if you're surprised that it's quick, don't be. That's exactly what went down. All right, Berkeley. Speaking of people being violently dragged, kicked, hurt, beat up. Well, it's what's all this about, right? You're probably wondering, what is it here with these anti-fascist or so-called anti-fascist rallies and protests? And you're probably also thinking, well, look, this whole Berkeley thing. I mean, Berkeley's up there, kind of north, and it's a kooky place. And who really cares? Well, let me tell you, I care. I care about this very much because I think, and this is what makes this so serious, is the single most precious thing we have in this country is under assault. It is our freedom of speech that allows our democracy to function, to evolve, to grow, to course correct. Every move that we have made as a country has happened as the result of discussions, right? I mean, you have at certain points in history, let's rewind maybe 40 years to the civil rights era. And what do we got? Those were all ideas. And they started as such. And we now look back, right? We look back at the marchers in Selma getting attacked, and beat down by the police or by other, you know, counter protesters. Do we think that's okay? See, it has nothing to do with the subject matter that is coming out of the person's mouth. You know, another casualty right now of this anti-fascist movements. And what are these? These are guys, gals that are getting together. They usually wear masks. They show up and they get into violent confrontations with people who are on the right. And their justification for it is that these guys over here that support Trump or that, you know, that support, you know, conservative issues, they're fascists. They're Nazis. They're bad people. And bad people deserve bad things happening to them. But the First Amendment guarantees that words are words, and they're protected. The discussion really here is not the content of the language. That's not the issue. The issue is allowing the speech to happen, and those who prevent it from happening. And it's one thing when you got private protesters, right? They're out there. These are, you know, private citizens that are beating people up. And of course, you also have, though, police departments in some of these, you know, blue counties, blue cities, got lefty cops and their mayors and different municipalities. And they're like what happened on tax day in Berkeley. In fact, I've got a little flavor. In case you're wondering what it's like to be a Trump supporter in the middle of one of these protests, I have a listen to this. No, I'll set it up for you first. A little theater of the mind. So this was Saturday, tax day. Remember the protests all across the country? Well, you had one of those protests being held at Berkeley. And so you had the anti-Trump people there, and then you had the pro-Trump people there. Totally normal, right? So far, I have described America to you, okay? So then what happens is the anti-Trump people, the faction in the anti-Trump crowd, also called the anti-fascists, show up, and they look scary. They're wearing hoods. They've got black bandanas covering their faces, and they start to get violent. And you'll remember, by the way, as that is going on, the police that are standing there, that are there to protect everyone and make sure that, for starters, there are no assaults and batteries happening. The police, get a stand down order. You remember this? That's not politics, right? If it was the other way around, if Trump supporters were beating up the anti-Trump people, you think they would have gotten a stand-down order? Yeah, right. So at any rate, somebody is filming. Of course, there's a lot of video from this event, but there's one particular video where there's a guy, and he's standing there. He's one of the pro-Trump people, and they're yelling back and forth with the anti-Trump people, and suddenly a guy comes out of the crowd and whacks him in the head with one of those bike U-locks. You know, the kind of the horseshoe type thing. It's got a heavy base. The locking mechanism is in one of those cylindrical type things, and then it opens up. You put it on your bike. You've seen them, but the base of it, where the locking mechanism is pretty heavy. And the guy took it and just whacks this guy in the head. Immediately, blood everywhere. Here is exactly what it sounded like in the moment. You got a short lead up to it, and then you'll hear the crack. Listen to this. He's got blood streaming right down his face. The protesters had to bring their own medics, by the way.
No, he's bleeding bad. He's bleeding bad.
So there's a nurse in the crowd that's helping out, and she then together with a group of other protesters, the pro-Trump people, are now kind of whisking this guy off to the side. They put him on the curb and they end up wrapping his head. And but anyway, who done it? Well, because phones are going and everybody's got video and pictures of everything that happened, we found out very quickly that it's a guy named Eric Canton, who just happens to be a philosophy professor at Diablo Valley Community College. Does anybody see the irony here? Just for a second, humor me. Isn't the study of philosophy, don't you use words? I'm going to throw that out there. I mean, because you understand what this is. These people are so, when I say these people, I mean these anti-fascist protesters that are clobbering people over the head because they don't like what they're saying, are so incapable at articulating their opposition to Trump that they can't use their words. Think about that. Then this guy, by the way, this guy, I looked him up. Do you know that site, Rate Your Professor? Or it says Rate My Professor. I don't know if you're in college, it's a great thing. You can go on there and you can find a professor that maybe you've signed up for a class, and you can kind of get the scoop on what, you know, what they're like. At any rate, this guy, where did I have this? This guy has two reviews. One of them caught my eye. A new professor at DVC, Clanton offers a younger take on philosophy that is both appreciated and valued. A knowledgeable and inspirational professor. Well, apparently not knowledgeable enough to use words to describe what he finds so offensive in this protest. Write a sign. Yell. Write a tweet. Geez, you know, Trump's tweeting all the time. You guys are flipping out over that. I mean, it's you know, what, as a parent, when it comes to my kids, and, you know, and you know, if you have kids at some stage, they every child has trouble communicating things. And so what they do is they'll punch, right? They just hit you. Ah, hit you. And what do you say to your kid, right? It's every parent's gone through this, all right? Unless your kid's a saint, in which case, bugger off. But anyway, my kids, I have to say, I go, look, use your words, okay? Now, I was talking about the Portland Rose Parade. Now, how does that tie into Berkeley? Listen, this is all interconnected. Apparently, April 29th, was that this week? That's this weekend, right? That would have been Sunday, Saturday or Sunday. Well, at any rate, this weekend, they were set to have a Rose Parade. It's been going on for years. And I guess they have floats that go into town. And the floats, you know, the different clubs, like, you know, like the 4-H, you know, they'll have a float. And, you know, you'll have different civic clubs will have a float. Well, apparently, the County Republican Party has a float. Has had a float in this parade for years. And, well, what happened? Suddenly, these anti-fascist people, this is the same group with the same allegiances as the ones that are disrupting and causing all this trouble that's going on right now as we speak in Berkeley. They actually, instead of waiting for the event, they went and they sent an email to the head of the Republican Party. And they said, greetings. I'm not going to read this whole thing to you, but basically, they Trump supporters and 3% militia are encouraging people to bring signs, hateful rhetoric. You have two options. Let them march or cancel. If you choose option one, then I will have 200 or more people rush into the parade in the middle and drag and push those people, as we will not give one inch to groups who espouse hate. And you know what happened? The parade was canceled. Now, when I come back, I want to read to you the statement here from the head of the Republican Party in this county, the organizer of the float and of his the party participation in the parade. And I'm going to tell you, when I read this to you and explain to you what this means, you are going to be so disappointed in this Republican. All right, stay tuned. Back right after this.
Check out SamNation.com for show podcasts. Email SamNation at sam@samnation.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Like us on Facebook.
Sam Rejovsky back. Now, as Berkeley is smoldering, as their big day there, lots and lots of protests going on, dangerous situation. We're watching it closely here. As that is developing, I want to draw your attention that Berkeley really isn't the only hotspot. It's like I mentioned in the last segment. There's Portland, boring old Portland. No, I don't want to. I'm not. I like Portland. Lots of coffee and coniferous pines. But Portland has this really. They've had this great roast parade every year. And I was telling you how it got canceled because the Republican Party that is always put afloat in this parade got a really scary and threatening email from these anti-fascist people, the same people that were protesting in Berkeley right now. There's some part of this that really fundamentally disturbs me. And it actually came from James Buchal, who is the chairman of the Multnomah County Republican Party. And this is a statement that he released. I'm going to read it here quick because the first part of it. But then there's one part I really want to focus on. So he says the bottom line is that Portland needs to choose between supporting terrorist thugs. That's how he's characterizing, right, the anti-fascist protesters, and protecting average citizens who want to participate in their community. Right. So far, so good. The Multnomah. Am I pronouncing that right? Multnomah? Well, I don't know. But anyway, they've got a funny name. The County Republican Party is not, he goes now, listen to this. The County Republican Party is not composed of Nazis and white supremacists. And those who think we would tolerate marching in a parade with folks carrying swastikas are delusional. So he says, the county Republicans, we're not composed of Nazis and white supremacists. And those people out there who are protesting who think we would tolerate marching in a parade with folks carrying swastikas are delusional. Now, what's the problem with this? This is an exact encapsulation of everything that is wrong with the Republican Party. See, the Republicans, they always fall for the trick. The militant left puts out a preposterous thing. In this case, it's that they're all Nazis. And you know what the Republicans do? The first thing that they do is they start to whine and explain and shrivel and say how, no. We aren't these things that you say of us. They accept the premise. I'm looking at this. You know what my comment would be is I don't care if we're marching with Nazis or not. It's called free speech. It's the same Constitution, whether you're blue or red, black or white, male or female, or something in between. It's the same rules. And the rules say you're allowed to speak your mind, and it's so important to our republic, and these people are the true fascists and Nazis. That's the answer. But do you see what this little weasel did? He immediately just gave up the ghost and started, instead of waving a Nazi flag, he's waving a white flag. Now, that is, of course, I'm alluding to an act of surrender and nothing to do with any white supremacy. Just have to clear that up for our snowflakes out there. No, the same thing. This is why Trump won the election. This guy right here, Buchol. Buchol is the prototype Republican for that in some way, shape, and form represents each one of Trump's opponents in the primaries. In the primaries, this is exactly why Trump killed them all, murdered them on national television. Because all these Republicans lined up and said, what? Oh, I'm so compassionate. I'm not a typical Republican. MSNBC, I'm not the mean Republican that you think I am. Trump just got up there and said, no, listen, I don't care what you want to call me. Here's the deal, right? Here's the straight scoop, pal. And that's it. And that is exactly what America's thirsting for. All right, more on this when we come back. It's really frightening stuff. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC, live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the Orange Curtain. That's right, Los Angeles Radio, but in Orange County. Think about that. The king of common sense here, always, always right, rarely wrong. Talking about this now, there's a great clip here from Bill Maher, who, by the way, we joke about it. We're talking before the show here. Bill Maher is absolutely right about Islam and free speech. Everything else, he's lost me. But when it comes to these free speech issues, especially, Bill Maher's good, and I totally agree with him. Here, this is what he said Friday, the 21st, about what was going on in Berkeley at the time, and specifically about these violent protests. The clip of which I played you, that guy who got cracked on the head. And Ann Coulter getting banned and all that stuff. But, you know, I played that clip in the first segment of the guy that got smashed in the head. This was Bill Maher's response on Real Time.
But Berkeley, you know, used to be the cradle of free speech, and now it's just the cradle for f***ing babies. And I feel like, you know, this goes on all over the country on campuses. They invite someone to speak who's not exactly what liberals want to hear, and they want to shut her down. I feel like this is the liberals' version of book burning.
Yeah.
And it's got to stop. Howard Dean tweeted today about this. Hate speech is not protected by the First Amendment. Yes, it is. Threats are not protected by the First Amendment. This is why the Supreme Court said the Nazis could march in Skokie. They're a hateful bunch. But that's what the First Amendment means. It doesn't mean just shut up and agree with me.
Amen. And I'll give you a personal example of this. You know, those of you who follow the program know that I come originally from the Czech Republic, which used to be Czechoslovakia, which was a country after World War II, swallowed up by the Soviet Union. What the communists did to my family is unspeakable. I hate communists. But I believe in their right to march, to protest, to speak freely. I want to challenge their ideology in words. I want to ridicule, to refute, to challenge their philosophy. I think they're wrong. I don't think they're just bad people. They're dead wrong in their view of the economy, social issues, everything, top to bottom. Bad people. That's the point. That's America. Because if the First Amendment, hear me out on this, if the First Amendment had what Howard Dean here, and you remember he was the DNC party chair, and he's so outspoken Democrat, that's who Bill Maher's referring to. But if he could add that little, I don't know, addition, right? The Dems all want to put a little shoehorn to the First Amendment and just kind of stick in that hate speech is not protected by the First Amendment. They want to put that in there. Who decides what is hate speech? Because they got the system in Russia right now. You know, and last time I checked, you Democrats aren't big fans of Mr. Putin. Well, depending on the day, right? But look, what do you think Putin critics are being silenced with? They have, theoretically, they've got free speech in their constitution. You know that? But there are exemptions. Public order, for example. So all of a sudden you're saying, you can't say that because it is a challenge to public order. Or it's a challenge to public morality. And that's where suddenly the state, the sovereign, the ruler, the president, whomever, is able to take people who speak an opposing point of view, who represent a challenge to his authority, and is then able to put them in jail. That is not good. Where do you want to live? Berkeley or Russia? Well, right now it's pretty close, but anyway, back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rajovsky, so I got an email from Clark Feldman, looks like, in Mission Viejo. Beautiful, sunny Mission Viejo. Well, not right now. What are you guys laughing at? Well, you know, this is a great email. He's asking why they aren't doing anything about the Berkeley protesters. And that's just it. So this Corey, Eric Canton guy, remember, he's the philosophy professor at Diablo Valley College who whacked one of the pro-Trump protesters on tax day. He just whacks him in the head with a bike lock. Cracks his head open, blood everywhere. Kid has to, you know, get all bandaged up and go to the hospital. And, you know, it's very interesting to me that I looked into it. And I don't know, he's no longer with, his profile's been taken down at the community college. So it's possible that he got canned. But there hasn't been a big public spectacle of an arrest or anything like that. And I think this is what really emboldens the protesters. These anti-fascists operate largely in blue cities. In blue cities, in blue states. And there is a refusal on the part of local law enforcement to prosecute them or even prevent them from doing what they're doing. Why? Because the local, you know, powers that be sympathize with these guys. That's why. You know what the solution is? Well, I know. You know, you'd think that, you know, you'd think all the heroes of the civil rights movement would show up. Where's Sharpton when you need him? Mr. Velvet Pajamas himself. Look, Mr. Medallion. Sharpie's nowhere to be found. But this is what happened in the South, right? You had the Klan, and here, just hear me out on this. I promise this is a straight up valid point. You had the Klan acting in the South with impunity. There was an era in our history where that happened. And what did local law enforcement do? Well, the sheriff, you know, in some cases, the sheriff was a member of the Klan, too. So what happened? They didn't prosecute terrible, unspeakable crimes. So how did that story play out? Well, eventually the feds came in. They did. They cleaned it up. They went in. If local law enforcement's corrupt, that's where the FBI rolls in. All right, the boys in blue. And I only bring this up because I am pretty sure that Jeff Sessions would be all over this given the opportunity. And that's one way this thing could play out. And I know I've prophesied things before on this program. I'm not ready to give this my 100% guarantee, but I do see this as a possibility of how this all plays out. Because Because it comes down to a federal issue. There's civil rights. These protesters' civil rights are being violated. They have a right to speak their minds freely. And these colleges can't, you know, put a little postage stamp in the middle of, okay, these 4 square feet over here, that's our free speech zone. All right, all you Trump crazies, go stand in that little box over there. They can't do that. They can't do that. And I hope you appreciate, too, the great irony. Well, of these Democratic judges, right, in the Ninth Circus, who are shutting down all of Trump's totally legal initiatives. You heard about the last judge, right? The guy in San Francisco. Huge Obama fundraiser. He raised like hundreds of thousands of dollars for Obama 2 cycles ago. This guy's a hack, a total left-wing liberal hack. Single-handedly, with the stroke of a pen, cancels Trump's executive order on sanctuary cities. And what do they all hide behind? The Constitution. The Constitution. Well, hey, guys, where's the Constitution now, eh? And that's just it. The Constitution has to work for both sides. It has to work when it's not comfortable for you. It has to work when it is comfortable for you. It's not about what's good for you. It's about how our founders designed and built this country. And believe me, they knew what they were doing. Okay? Sam Rzhovsky back right after this.
Check out samnation.com for show podcasts. Email samnation at sam@samnation.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Like us on Facebook.
Rzhovsky here. Okay, so imagine you're at Berkeley, you are protesting, or just maybe, I don't know, walking through the crowd, and you happen to have a Make America Great Again hat. When suddenly, a deranged anti-fascist protester bites you in the leg. This can happen. And I guarantee you, by the way, these guys have rabies. At least some of them do. Look, any kind of injury, any kind of accident, anything like this, you've got to get some help. Do not let the insurance company or anyone on the other side try to talk you out of what you deserve. And remember, Sweet James, the lawyer we trust here on the program, you know, he's available. You give him a call, he'll talk to you, go through what's going on with your case. And remember, every person, no matter how big or small their case is, deserves a free consultation from a good lawyer. It's the starting point. You got to do it. 800-881-2021. Sweet James Bergner, the lawyer that will represent you and make sure that you get everything that you need and deserve in your case. You can also, if you don't want to call him, you can visit his website and get in touch there. SweetJames.com. All right, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, plugging right along here. And there's another example of where these violent protests have the effect of silencing not just debate, but actually silencing civic engagement. Do you know who Jason Chaffetz is? The 5-term congressman from Utah. Now, very active. He's the one who led all the Libya hearings. And apparently, he just put in his said, I'm not running for re-election and I might even be leaving early. And there's been a ton of speculation about why. It's not typical for politicians, elected politicians, especially those who are high profile, to leave their terms early. Unless, of course, you know, they've been caught with a dead hooker in the trunk. So in Jason Chaffetz's case, I have it on good authority. Look, he is absolutely scared stiff. And why? All goes back to a town hall that he held back in February. It was the first one he had since the election. And it was nuts. Security, Capitol Hill police are the ones who provide security for congressmen. They told him, don't bring your family. His wife wanted to come. I'm telling you, his family is scared, just scared. death threats, armed people that came to that rally. People were people with guns were walking around in the parking lot trying to find his car. He's been getting vile messages, voicemails, emails. You know, I mean, imagine it's you, just for a second. You want to deal with that? It's a good question. What does a congressman make? $150 a year, $170, something like that. That you could not pay me enough for that kind of nonsense. And the calculation, of course, when you've got family, when you've got kids, you know what that's about. This is not America. And by the way, the Deseret News ran an article about this. They pointed to some of these things. And in the article, they said, this was a quote from it. It says, "Didn't feel like Utah," talking about that day, that big town hall meeting. And I'll tell you why I didn't feel like Utah, because these people are coming from out of state. They're a bunch of rabid Berkeley anti-fascist protesters coming in by the busload. It's like a giant granola trail mix. All right, back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Look forward to it. Have a great one. Talk to you then. Can't stop, addicted to the shindig.